In the backyard, your tree branch was Excalibur. The trash can lid, your shield. You had everything you need to defeat those big, scary giants. Back then, you were courageous and strong. The giants didn't stand a chance. So what changed? New giants overshadow us now. We're anxious about everything. We never seem to have enough of anything. We can't let go of what that person did to us. We don't measure up to everyone around us. Our giants are facing us down again. Will we turn and run? Or will we stand and fight? Because freedom is on the other side of victory, and giants must fall.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bridgewater. It is wonderful to be here today. I hope you guys are excited to be here as well. Thank you to this group up here. They do such a great job every week. I so enjoy them. So enjoy them every week, even just closing out there. Yes, our God, we do have a great God, and we are thankful for that. My name is Joel, if I haven't met you, and I am excited to be here today. We are in this series. I'm doing this the part of this series, and I just want you to know, Giants Must Fall, what a great series. When Pastor Tim reached out to me a handful of weeks ago, he probably reached out to me a month or so ago, and I looked at that series, and I was reading down through it, and I'm like, finally, a message that this group of people needs down there. I've been proclaiming this for years. I don't know. It made sense to me. You know, the problem with that is you have fun, you make fun, but then you read through the series and you look through. I actually just so that you know, full disclosure here, I spoke the first message in this series down in Tunkhannock a few weeks ago there, and I actually told the people in Tunkhannock I didn't use this on them because I don't know them well enough, but I said I'm looking forward to speaking this up in Conklin so that I can give them that little bit about the giants must fall. But as you read through that, it's okay. I'll try to get back on track here, away from football and drafting poorly, playing. No, I'm joking. As you read through the series, I read through the messages. And as I'm reading through this message, and I'm preparing this message and changing parts of it and everything like that, this week is a message that really, I'm there like, I don't want to speak. You know, I want to have fun with it, but this is a message that's too close to home. You know, sometimes messages, you know, when they're close to you, you're like, yikes, that's a struggle. That's something that's hard to deal with. Let's take a look at this series. As you've looked through and as you've gone through this series, Giants Must Fall, right? Week one was David and Goliath, and where's our trust? That's where we put our hope, right? Our hope is in who we trust, right? Week two, Pastor Tim spoke about fear being a giant that we need to take out, that we need to get out of our lives because fear comes in and it cripples us, right? It holds us back. Rejection, another fear that comes and gets us. And Pastor Tim preached on that tremendously last week, that we need to be cautious because rejection, when we feel that, again, that can be debilitating to us. It's not just some frivolous comment that's out there, but it's something that takes hold and it holds onto us and it gets us and it grabs us. This week, we are looking at comfort, right? We're going to look at this idea of comfort. You see, comfort must fall. I don't know about you, but part of my life, right? My goal for my life is happiness sometimes, right? That's what I want. My goal for my life is happiness. It can be happiness and comfort that I'm looking for in life, right? That's what I want to have. I just want to have my goal of being comfortable, happy, and hold on to that. And we need to be cautious sometimes. Because when we talk about comfort, and when I talk about comfort up here, we're going to be talking not about some of the things that we shouldn't have padded seats from now on. You guys just have to sit on hard seats, right? It's not about having a nice car. You should have a junky car that breaks down and leaves you on the side of the road, right? It's not about having a nice house. I was thinking this week we should throw out all of our nice furniture and we're going to sleep on the floor and we're going to sleep. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what is it in your spiritual life? Where is it that you find comfort and say, God, Don't come push me there. All right. Maybe for some of us, comfort is in our finances, right? That's where we find our comfort. And God, I've got to hold on tight to everything because I need it all. I need that. Maybe it's with my time. God, I don't have time for the people at church. I don't have time to help with that because I got to hold on tight to my time. As we go through this message this morning, I'm not sure what the comfort in your life may be. Maybe it's the comfort of a couple of bucks of coffee every week that God's challenging you and you're thinking, maybe I need to do this with that instead. I don't know. Maybe it's giving to an organization, serving in an organization, picking up a ministry here at church. Maybe it's reaching out to the people around you with love. But what is it that God is speaking to you? Because see, if my goal for my life is happiness and comfort, there's a problem with that. God's goal for my life is greatness. And when we hear greatness, sometimes we think, ooh, yeah, God, that's great. I think greatness is a great thing for me to be. I want to be great. No. We're talking about being like Christ. Why? Because Christ is the greatest. And in our lives, we want to be more and more like him. We want his love to be reflected in our lives, in the way that we live. We want that to be our goal, to be like Christ. So as we look at this message this morning, as we go through this message, I was trying to think, what's the one thing I could do to make you most uncomfortable, right? If we're going to talk about comfort, how can I get you all uncomfortable, right? Let's make it as uncomfortable as we can. I asked Jim, who was playing electric guitar, if he'd come up and help me out with this one, and he ran away. But I said, it's biblical. We're just going to take a biblical passage, and it says in there, greet one another with a holy kiss. So today, I'm going to greet each one of you with a holy kiss. And we're scared to death right now because that's about as uncomfortable and creepy as you can be. And that's not what our desire is. So instead of greeting you with a holy kiss, I decided on your way out today, we're going to greet you with a Hershey's kiss instead. All right, that's a little bit better than a kiss. And Jim didn't come back up for my example. I'm a little disappointed in that there. But anyway, we're going to, and if that was just too much, York peppermint patty, that's a little bit of a fresh sensation there, right? They give you that. So to get that whole creepiness out of your head of that right there. Anyway, comfort. What do we do with it? How do we work? How do we confront this giant that wants to pose itself in our head? By the way, and a lot of times in very good things, right? It's not, the giant of comfort doesn't look big and mean and bad, right? The giant of comfort can be there cuddly and want to hold you and want to say, hey, look how nice this is, right? Look how nice life is going for you. Enjoy that. Don't take any challenges. Don't take any risks. Well, what I want to do is I just want to reflect back on where we've been. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where this series started from. Pastor Tim has been preaching on that. He preached on David and Goliath, right? And talking about them. And one of the things that I think about with that passage where comfort comes in, the army was terrified every day when they went out and they heard the giant, when they heard Goliath talk to them. They were terrified. That doesn't sound comfortable to me, right? But what did they do? They would run back to their tents, and for 40 days and for 40 nights, they listened to this giant challenge them, and each one of them back in their tent, probably at night, they were probably like us, right? This is what I would do if I were King Saul. I mean, this is something that he needs to go and solve, and right? I don't know if they're like us, but they're back there talking about this is what should be done, this is how it should be done. Why isn't Saul stepping up and going down there and taking care of it? But they were back in their tents, and they were comfortable. It may not have been as comfortable at home, but it was a lot more comfortable than being out there in the battle, being out there thinking this is what's going on and avoiding that. They had David coming and bringing food, and it was this young boy David who had to come and say, hey, no longer for this giant. We're going to take him out. Why? Because he's defying the armies of the living God, and we're going to get him. No longer back here in comfort in our tents. We're going to go take the war to them, and we're going to get them. And he did that. And as we go through that, you see the comfort there. Comfort can sometimes be a place where we may not want to be, but it's more comfortable than going out and facing the challenge at hand. This morning, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can open there. If you have it on your phone, I'd encourage you to open your phone. You can look there as well, or the verses will be up here on the screen too. So they'll be available for you there. But as we look at this, I want us to be aware, Matthew is writing a passage. Matthew is one of the disciples that spent time with Jesus right here on earth. So as we look at this passage here in Matthew, we are talking about something that took place, Matthew being there with Christ, learning, seeing this all firsthand. Matthew, able to document and write this down, spoke about it after Christ had ascended into heaven. He spoke about it and finally wrote down and documented what had taken place. So we're getting an eyewitness account of somebody that was there. And in Matthew chapter 16, something very important happens, and it's what we would call the Jesus talks about the church. He's talking about us today. He's talking about the gathering. He's talking about the assembly of those that gather. Always nice to have your phone whistle. Maybe that should have been the whistle to say I'm done, right? Right there. But Jesus is there, and it's the foundation of the church here in chapter 16. He's with his followers, and he goes up to Caesarea Philippi, and he's with them, and he's like, guys, what are people saying about me? What is word on the street? What does everybody think of me? What are they saying? How are they talking? What are the things that they're saying about me? And the disciples respond with, some think you're a prophet. Some think you're the second coming of Elijah, that you're going to prepare the way. But what about you guys, Jesus says to them. What do you say that I am? And Peter says these words. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in these words right here, Jesus says, Peter, this is a true statement. And it is on this statement that I am going to build my assembly, my gathering, my church. 2,000 years later, we are the result. We are the ones that are that building of the church. I shouldn't say result because we're the ones that are still in the process of building that gathering that Peter spoke of, that Jesus spoke of all the way back then when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So it is on this background that we are going to take a look at a passage where Jesus calls his followers to be followers of him always. And this is what he says, just a few verses after that, the next section right after he says that, from then on. So after Jesus had made this proclamation to them that, you know what, I am going to build my kingdom. I'm going to build my church, my gathering, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He goes on, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. So he's letting them know right up front, this is what's going to happen. He tells them he would be killed. He continues on right there. He would be killed. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. So when they hear this, all right, Peter takes them aside. Peter takes Jesus aside. But Peter said to him, he took him aside and began to reprimand him, saying, such things heaven forbid, Lord. He said, this will never happened to you. Before we get too hard on Peter here, think about a couple things. Number one, Peter's taking Christ. He just said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He takes him aside and now he begins to reprimand him as we are told, right? He's taking him aside and saying, Lord, this can never happen to you. Remember, just back up just a little bit. Remember what I said about you, that you are the Messiah? You are the Son of the living God? You can't be killed. You can't be beaten. You can't be tortured. That can't happen to you. Peter had a thought in his mind as to how life was supposed to go. You see, he was looking and he was seeing what he understood. And Jesus turns to him and he says this. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Peter, you're dangerous. You're seeing things merely in human sight. You're seeing only what you can see. You're not looking from God's point of view. And when it comes to comfort, comfort must fall. And to become greater and to become more like Christ, we need to realize that following Jesus means trusting God, even when the plan sounds crazy, right? To Peter, he's looking right there and he's there like, Jesus, we just said that you're the Messiah. You just said that you're going to build your kingdom. You're going to build your gathering on these words. And now all of a sudden, what? You're saying you're going to die? That doesn't fit. I don't understand that. For you and I, comfort must fall to become greater like and to be more like Jesus. We need to realize that our comforts must fall. And sometimes the things that we see with our human eyes are limited because they don't have an eternal perspective there for us. You see, following Jesus means not trying to convince other people to stop what they might be doing. All right, what is it that they're looking to sacrifice for God? Where is it that you're looking to go? Just a handful of years ago, I used to be in my 20s. You know, I'm just a handful of years ago. But back in the 90s, I had graduated from college. I had a job. And I remember going to my dad and saying to my dad, Dad, I think I might want to go to seminary. I might want to go into ministry. And my dad was very wise in that moment and looking at me and talking to me and saying, Joel, if that is something that God is looking to do in your life, you need to go and do it. All right? At the moment, I may have been saying, Dad, I'm hoping you give me some wisdom saying that's not a good idea. As a matter of fact, you're probably better off if you pursue a job with the Phillies, right? That's what I would have preferred, or maybe for the Eagles this morning, just for since I'm already insulting people there. But right, my dad was very wise, and he's there like, no, if that's something, right? He wasn't trying to talk me out of it. He wasn't trying to walk me back from it. I'll tell you, at that point in my life, speaking, being a pastor, number one, had never been a thought in my life, never wanted to do that. Number two, speaking in front of people was something I had no desire to do. As a matter of fact, I was as nervous as could be just doing it in a small class in college when I had to do it. Now you guys are saying, gee whiz, we wish the guy would just shut up because all he wants to do is go up there and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but God was gracious with that. And I'm so thankful for that step. I'm thankful for the wisdom of my dad in saying, listen, if that's something that God is leading you to do, you need to do that. And when people come to us in life, it may sound like something like, whoa, I don't know about that. We need to listen and give wise advice. Why? Because God's plans aren't our plans. His ways aren't always our ways. His thoughts aren't always our thoughts. Sometimes we see the Messiah and we see the Messiah without the cross. That's what Peter saw because he didn't know any better. And yet on the other side, his life would be changed. Matthew continues on. All right, and as he continues on here, he continues on in the story. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. So if any of you wants to be a follower, you are going to follow me. But there's a little something in the middle. And what is it that you must do? You must give up your own way. Another translation says you must deny yourself. All right, we must deny that which is in us that wants to take us away from Christ, that wants to do things for my own glory, for my own self. I need to deny that, is what Jesus is saying. Look, there is something within you, Peter. I want you to know you need to deny that part. And he's saying that to his disciples, you need to deny that part, and you need to take up your cross. And to you and I today, I just can't imagine that has the same meaning that it had in the first century to these Jewish believers, to these Jewish followers of Jesus Christ as they heard that. Because when they heard, take up your cross, they knew exactly what he was saying there. And it was something like, no, I don't want to do that. All right, the cross, this form of Roman torture that was there, all right, they had probably all witnessed, seen a crucifixion at some point in their lives. We know just shortly they're going to be seeing one, right? But they knew for the cross, when he says, take up your cross, take up that cross and follow me, they're there like, I don't know that I want to do that. I don't know what that means. Because the cross meant that there was opposition to them. Opposition, that's what it meant. Roman, you were opposed to Rome. We're going to crucify you. It meant suffering. It meant shame, right? You're going to be there in front of everybody. You're going to be stripped. You're going to be beaten. And it meant certain death. And it meant painful, excruciating death. It meant that if you didn't suffocate in the time frame that they had planned for you, that they would come and break your legs to make that happen a little bit quicker. That's what they understood. That was the culture that they lived in. They were aware of what taking up your cross meant. For us today, I am so thankful. We live in the greatest country in the world, and we have so many freedoms. We have so many abilities. That's not something, right? That's not something that we fear, that we walk around generally fearing. And that's something to be thankful for in our lives. It's something to say, God, thank you that I can share the hope of Jesus Christ without that fear in my life. But sometimes we can become so comfortable that just a little opposition makes us scared. Just a little bit of rejection from last week, right, makes us scared, makes us walk away, and we back away from that. So take up your cross and follow me is what Jesus challenges them with there. And he says this, if you were trying to hang on to your life, he continues on, if you're trying to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. You try to hang on. Look at the little difference here. Hang on. You're going to lose it. But if you give up, you're going to save it. If you give up your life, if you give up your life to those comforts that I am calling you out of, guess what? As a result of that, hang on, lose, give up, save. It doesn't seem normal for us. No, I've got to hold on tighter. I've got to hold on to what it is that I want to do. Jesus says, no, don't hold on tighter. Follow me. And that is how you will save your life. Comfort must fall. You see, comfort must fall, number two, to save and find your life. To save and to find that life that is ours. This is what we must do. We've got to be aware of that. And we've got to be aware. What are the areas in your life? What are the areas in my life that I need to deny? What are some of them? I don't know what they are for you. Half the time, I don't even know what they are for me. I've got to give up the comforts in my life. God, what is it that you are tapping me, calling me to do, that I am looking the other way and saying, no, I'm pretty sure you mean somebody else. I'm pretty sure there's somebody else for that. You see, am I satisfied in places where God is not? Do I look at my own life and say, you know what, it's good enough. I'm good enough. I'm doing well enough. I mean, after all, I show up at church and when given the opportunity, I tell somebody about Jesus, not too often, but every once in a while I do that. And you know what? Where are the areas in my life that I'm satisfied, that I am satisfied that God is not? Think about this. Those who turn back, all right? Those who turn back in life, they remember only the ordeal, right? When you get up to something and it's too hard and you turn and you walk away, you only remember the ordeal. But those who endure remember only the adventure, right? If we can endure through, we remember the adventure that is there. C.S. Lewis said it this way, if you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. C.S. Lewis was a theologian back in the 1900s, passed away in the 1960s, but a wonderful theologian, wonderful writer. Challenges us in our faith, in our thoughts, in our beliefs, in what we do. And that's what he looks at and he says, if you're looking for really comfortable, this isn't the religion for you. And how should we know that? Because Christianity was not born out of comfort. It was born out of the worst thing happening to the best person. It was born out of the fact that God's own son, the perfect sacrifice for sin, was crucified for those that were sinners. Christianity wasn't born out of us to be comfortable. It wasn't born out of Christ's resurrection so that we could be comfortable, but rather so that the world could be changed, so that the love of God could be shown to the world through his son, Jesus Christ. What are the things that we need to be challenged with in our life? Jesus continues on. And what you do is, he continues on here, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's letting them know, what do you gain? If everything in this world, the whole Roman Empire is yours, if it's all yours, what do you gain if you lose your soul? He continues on and he says, For the Son of Man will come with his angels in glory, the glory of his Father, and will judge all people according to their deeds. Comfort must fall to gain a greater reward. In your life and my life, that greater reward is a desire to be with Christ. It is eternal life. That is what he is calling us to. And what we need to be aware of is the longer view that we can take, the longer view that we can see out there, the better decisions you and I will make. Right? When we're nearsighted, when everything is close to us right here, when this is all that we can see that is in front of us, right? When all we can see is what's right in front of us and we can't see the long view out there, we get trapped, we get caught, and we get stuck. But we need to understand that there is something out there, and God is saying, I want you to see with my eyes. Christ is telling his disciples right here, I want you to see what it is that I see, because you can't see it. Peter, you can't see it. That's why you're challenging me. And for all of you, for you disciples, I want you to know that you're going to have to give up what it is that you don't want to give up, because you're going to follow me and it's going to be worth more than you can imagine. And the journey will be worth more than we can imagine. You see, our faith thrives in holy discontent. Yours and my faith, it thrives in holy discontent, right? That's where we're at in our lives, that we need our faith to thrive in an area of holy discontent. Sometimes it's the areas where we are least comfortable that God works within your life. Can I remind you of another way though? Sometimes God works in the things that you find comfort in and puts you in uncomfortable places or even places where you can work within that. I was talking to Pastor Jeff just the other day, and he was telling me that he was doing a wedding yesterday for the Thrashers. Now, the Thrashers are the motorcycle group that he chose to start, The Punishers, get that wrong, but with the Punishers. And how many years ago? 7 years ago, he started being, why? Because he wanted to reach out. He wants to be an influence with them. Guess what? He likes motorcycles. It was something that he was comfortable getting into with motorcycles. I don't know that he was comfortable getting into the group with them, but he said, like, you know what? I like motorcycles a lot. These people like motorcycles a lot. I love Jesus, and I love to talk about Jesus with people, and he works with people in their lives through that. Many of you do that in different areas of you of all of life in ministry. There are people that work in the back with children, and they're back there with them while I'm out here speaking, praying that, Joel, don't go long. We got to be done. These kids are driving me bats. No. Right? You see, it never happened like that. But God will take areas of your life. Sometimes it's areas that you're comfortable in and say, you know what? I want to stretch your faith a little bit because I want you to be comfortable here, but I want you to be uncomfortable because you're going to start sharing my name with these people and it's going to change the world. Think about this church right here, coming up on a 10-year anniversary, this campus here in Conklin, all right? 10-year anniversary, why? 10 years ago, a group of people said, you know what? I think we could reach people up in the Conklin area. Aren't you glad they did that? Yeah, they stepped out in faith. They may not have been comfortable with it. As a matter of fact, I still remember back then when they started doing it. How many people are going to show up the first week? Being a little bit nervous about that. It's understandable. Think about this. If you go back to 2006, Bridgewater was just a church down in Montrose that had, I don't even think it was 100 people at the time. Some people started changing things, changed the way they thought, changed the way a little bit of how things happened, started proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in the community, sharing the hope that he has. And this past Easter, over 3,000 people at different Bridgewater campuses. Wow, how about that? Yeah. Why? Because people said, you know what? We're going to stretch our comfort zone, and we believe that following God, that we put faith in him, that he will do what it is that he says that he will do. And we want to follow him, and lives will be changed. I want to jump over to Acts chapter 4 just real quickly here. Because Peter is one of these individuals that reprimands Jesus here, and he challenges him. Jesus, this can't happen to you. But in Acts chapter 4, there's a story that happens here where Peter and John are coming along, and there's a man that's been lame from his birth. He's 40 plus years old. He hasn't been able to walk. And he asks Peter and John, hey, can you give me anything? And they tell him, silver and gold we don't have. But what we do have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. He gets up and walk, and he shows up in the temple. And as he's walking around in the temple, he's leaping and he's jumping, and it causes a commotion. And people are wondering how this happened. And they're saying it happened in the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what? The people that had Christ crucified are still there. The very people that were present that held the fake trial against Jesus Christ, they were there. And they challenge him. What do you mean? Don't be talking in that name of Jesus Christ. And they tell Peter and John, no more. And they throw them in jail. And jail for them, they're thinking, at least I would imagine they're thinking, this is the end. They killed Jesus. We're proclaiming his name. It's probably the end of us too. They come out the next day, and Peter has an opportunity to speak. And he looks at him and he says, look, you guys killed him. But he rose from the dead. We saw him with our own eyes. You see this man walking, and that happened because of the name of Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? And they just warn him and say, no more talking in his name. Be quiet. And that's the people who see the cross in front of them. They're aware that their leader was crucified. And when they go back to their people, when they go back to the church, that early church there, this is what they say. When they heard this, they raised their voices. This is a group of people that they go back to. They raised their voices in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. And they continue to proclaim the holiness of God. And then they come down to this portion right here, and they say this, now, Lord, in their prayer, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to be comfortable. God, please allow us to be comfortable. God, please heal me. You know what? I got a little blister on my foot from being in jail there. They weren't nice to me. They whipped me a little bit. Please heal me from my wounds. Please help me out. No, they said, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They prayed that they would have boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ. If you were a follower of Jesus Christ, you are thankful that somewhere in your life, somewhere in your past, someone had the boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ to you. In our lives, we need comfort to fall and our faith to thrive. And in order for that to happen, we need to know, what are the areas of our life that I need to change? What are they? What is God calling me to do? Or is there something that God is calling me to do? I hope it's not with a motorcycle gang, because I don't like motorcycles, all right? But I'm glad that there's somebody that wants to do that, right? I hope that it might not be back in children's ministry, but I sure am thankful that there are a lot of people back there serving our children faithfully every week. I hope that it may not be in this area, but you know what? I'm thankful that God has people that are serving and doing that all of the time. And then the other thought is, what are the voices, right? Not only this, what is God calling me to do, but what are the voices that I'm listening to? Who is it that I am listening to? Am I listening to people that are calling me to follow Christ? Or am I listening to people that pull me away? See, God gives us the opportunity to hear from him in so many different ways. Through praise music that we sing, through so many different Christian podcasts that can reach out to you, through messages and messages like this series that Giants Must Fall. If you haven't been here, I would encourage you to go back and listen to Pastor Tim's messages, Giants Must Fall, in your life and in my life. You see, we have a God that is a great God that is looking to do his work in his people. Why? Because he is in the process of growing his church. And he wants us to be the followers that will do that. Will you rise to that challenge? Will you look at the comforts that want to hold you back? And will you kick them out of the way and say, no longer will I let that comfort hold me back. I want to follow Christ. I want to give that area to him. Pray with me, please. God, as we close our time together here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would bless and encourage each one of these individuals here this morning. God, you know our hearts. You know where we walk in life. You know what we deal with in life. And God, I just ask that in each one of our hearts and minds, there are things that we want to hold on to that are comforts for us. And yet, God, you say, you know what, I want to use that for my honor and glory. Or maybe, Lord, you're saying, I want to change that. Why? Because I want to see your faith thrive. I want to see your faith grow because I am worthy of being trusted. So, Lord, I ask that you challenge our hearts. May your Holy Spirit come down and do what only he can do in the lives of your people. God, I pray that you might bless, that you might encourage. Thank you for each one here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.